Russ and Pat with you, and right now it's time, as we do each and every week here on the 9 o'clock hour, we will go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
Pat, of course, as we do each and every week, our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. If you think you're ready for the third toughest course on the PGA Tour, take one of golf's ultimate tests at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. And Pat, over 100 golfers, actually, I believe it was 156 golfers started in the during earlier this week, in the middle of the week, Wednesday and Thursday, Tuesday and Wednesday, in stroke play. Stroke play was the first round of the U.S. Amateur this week at Pinehurst in North Carolina. The top 64 from stroke play then, of course, enter into the match play format. And today's finals pits the number one ranked amateur in the world, Danny Lee from Australia. He's of Korean descent, was born in Korea at age 10, moved to Australia. Danny Lee, the number one ranked amateur in the world. And then the number 367 ranked amateur in the world, Drew Kittleson, a junior at Florida State University. So a Seminole taking on the number one ranked amateur in the world, Danny Lee, for the right to be the 2008 USGA U.S. Amateur Champion. And we know that this tournament has a very storied history. Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods have been past U.S. Amateur Champions. So is this a surefire way to predict greatness in golf, Pat?
I would say no, Russ, but I do think if you are going to be a great player, you need to win the U.S. Amateur. Don't forget, going all the way back to Bobby Jones, this was a major at one time. In fact, Jack Nicklaus, who won this a couple times, considers it a major still. Obviously, I don't think the rest of the golf writing community does, but nonetheless, I think you need to win a U.S. Amateur to be considered a truly great player. Now, some great players didn't win U.S. Amateurs. I don't think Ben Hogan did. Sam Snead, I don't think, won a U.S. Amateur. So some of them didn't win it, but for the most part, most of the great players have won the U.S. Amateur. But you've had guys that, like I mentioned, didn't win the U.S. Amateur and were great players. You had guys who won the U.S. Amateur and didn't turn out to be, you know, super great players. Nonetheless, I don't want to take anything away from that accomplishment, but you've had guys you've had major winners like Justin Leonard. You've had Billy Mayfair. He won the U.S. Amateur. Nathaniel Crosby won the U.S. Amateur.
Billy Mayfair won the U.S. Amateur, and it was at Jupiter Hills when
right,
he won
right down
1987.
Here. So you've had guys that won the U.S. Amateur and then didn't do much after that, but maybe that was really all their goal was to stay amateur and win that thing. So I don't think it necessarily predicts greatness, but I think if you're going to be a great player, you need to win the U.S. Amateur.
I agree with you, Pat. I think it's definitely, if you're going to be an all-time great, and it's hard to say that Ben Hogan's not an all-time great, but, you know, he
got cranked up later.
He was a guy who really was a late bloomer. He didn't win any of his majors. Ben Hogan won, nine majors.
After 30,
exactly. All like nine of his major victories were after the age of 30, and a couple of them came after that near-life ending accident that he had in 1950, that horrible car accident in 1950 where he almost lost his life. He was in the hospital for a year, comes back in 1951 at Oakland Hills in Detroit, and wins the U.S. Open. So you've had late bloomers like Ben Hogan that never won the U.S. Amateur, but I think it really is a requisite for most everyone else to be considered an all-time great, a top 10 player of all time, like Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods. But you make a great point. Billy Mayfair won the U.S. Amateur. He's never won a major. Nick Flanagan, most recently, a couple years ago, won the U.S. Amateur, I believe at Oakmont, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
the year
you're
he
right.
won it.
Yeah, he did.
Matt Kuchar won it. You know, he is a former Honda Classic champion, so there's something to be said for that.
Sure.
But I wouldn't say he's a great player. He hasn't won a major yet. So for every great that's won it, Tiger, Phil, Jack, Arnold, there's some guys that won it that not necessarily will ever become greats, like Nick Flanagan, Matt Kuchar. So I guess what I'm saying is it's a mixed bag, but I would argue that more times than not, guys that win this, you can predict that will be great. So I would say maybe 70-30 or 60-40, the past champions of this event have gone on to be great versus the guys that have won this and then not gone on to do much else.
I'm tending to agree with that. I think you need to win this thing if you're going to be considered a great player.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment, as you do each and every week, talking about a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Challenge yourself on a course that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic. Come and play at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com.
All right, Russ, number two goes to you. And in the category of the rich get richer, Des Smith, who's on the Champions Tour, but hasn't done anything in 3 years, got a little bit of good news earlier this week. His son, Gregory, 24, won the lottery over in Ireland worth over $15 million, according to PGA Tour officials. Des said in an email he apparently got two quick pick tickets, and one of them was the winner. So he's not going to have to worry, really, per se, about money anymore. Not that Des maybe ever did in the first place. My question is, where does this end with these guys? I mean, you know, the guy's a Champions Tour player, and his son, 24, out playing the lottery. Usually you're in your 60s playing the lottery, hoping to find, you know, that with the muddy metal detector out on the beach.
Right,
but this guy's only 24, and he's already set for life.
Well, here this is my biggest point with this story. How'd you like to be Des Smith, 55-year-old, you know, he's an Irish descent, so he grew up in Ireland. He was born in Ireland. His son, of course, Gregory, is Irish as well, and he still lives over in Ireland. But how'd you like to be Des Smith? You've had a whole entire career as a professional golfer. You've probably won collectively $5, $6 million in your entire career. He's won $123,000 so far this year on the Champions Tour. And then your son picks a couple of lucky numbers and all of a sudden makes about three times as much as you've made in your entire career. You've worked, you know, your fingers to the bone for 35, 40 years, and all of a sudden your son picks some lucky numbers and he's already made three times as much as you. I mean, is that not a little demoralizing?
I would say that's a little demoralizing because, you know, this is what, you know, I'm in the gambling business, so I have a hard time
right.
arguing against a gambling mechanism. But nonetheless,
calling the kettle black,
possibly. But winning the lottery, and it happens so rarely that, you know, we're talking about a minuscule percentage of the population that does this. But studies have shown that a lot of these people end up blowing the money within 5 years or something anyway because they don't know how to handle it. When you earn money, Russ, it gives you a perspective as to what it took to get that money and all the hard work and all that kind of stuff. And then you sort of along the way know what you need to do to make sure you keep that. When you win the lottery and all of a sudden you're just, you know, a pot of gold just falls into your lap, a lot of people don't know how to react to that. So I'm sure the one thing that Des can impart on his son is, hey, you know, it is a lot of money. Here's what you need to do to make sure you invest it properly and that kind of stuff so you don't blow it. And hopefully the son will take that advice. But a lot of times you'll see, Russ, that people that are thrust with money, you know, that didn't necessarily have a lot of it in the past or whatever, don't know how to handle it
right.
and end up blowing it.
How many times have you seen, you know, watching TV at like midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden you happen upon like an old episode of, you know, Ricky Lake.
Ooh.
Or what's the guy, Jerry Springer?
Oh, yeah.
You happen on one of those old episodes, and the topic is former lottery champions who are now broke, right? Yeah,
right.
Everyone's seen that show. And I think to myself, how can somebody be blessed with the opportunity to win like $5, $10 million all in one lump sum and then blow it within like 4 or 5 years? I mean, and the reality is, no matter how much money you have in life, if you're not good at managing money, if you're not good at creating a budget and shopping properly and spending properly and being, you know, frugal to some extent, it doesn't matter how much money you have, regardless of the amount, you're always going to blow it.
Well, you know what happens, Russ, I think a lot of times is those people, you know, they don't have a lot of money. That's why they're playing the lottery. So they have relatives and friends who also don't have a lot of money. Now, all of a sudden, they win something and they don't want to feel like they're jerks, so the cousins come out of the, you
right.
know, the third, fourth cousins
they
come
give
out of the woodwork,
piece of the pie,
and it's like,
everybody.
Hey, you know, don't be a jerk, don't be, you know, don't be snobby, help us out here. And that's what happens a lot of times, is I think a lot of people try and help everybody else, and then also on top of it, they're buying 10 cars or things that they don't need, and that's how you end up blowing it in four
that's
or five
true.
Years.
Everybody wants a piece of the pie.
That's right.
You know how your true friends are, you know, after you've blown all that lottery money, who's still friendly
around.
With you
that's right.
afterwards. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. What do Nicholas Palmer, Hagen, and Sarazen have in common? Find out when you play championship golf at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com. Just an aside from our last topic. Congratulations to Des Smith and his son, 24-year-old Gregory, who won the lottery. Didn't want to make it sound like we're jealous or anything, but it's just an interesting story.
I'm not jealous. I just think he's got to be careful with how he goes, and believe me, over in Ireland, he's going to have 15 cousins now coming out of the woodwork.
By the way, I am jealous. I would like to win $15 million.
Sure,
as well.
Who the hell would?
All right, Pat, last topic is for you. This is a juicy one. This is an awesome story for any golf fan who is also a sports fan. This is just good news. It was announced earlier this week that Charles Barkley, NBA Hall of Famer Charles Barkley, is going to star in an upcoming Golf Channel reality series, which famed instructor Hank Haney, of course, who is the world-class golf instructor who coaches, among others, Tiger Woods, will try to fix his golf swing. So Charles Barkley is going to be in a reality television show on the Golf Channel where Hank Haney is going to try to fix his train wreck of a golf swing. So the question, of course, is what will happen when Tiger Woods' personal coach, who stands among the world's top teachers on the golf swing, collides with Charles Barkley, whose golf swing has been described by Rick Riley as it looks like a man waiting for a rattlesnake to pop up so he can kill it. There's no doubt that I'm going to be watching, and I think this is good news, because when you consider some of the crap that the Golf Channel has put on, you know, previous reality series, including the John Daly show, where he was plucking his guitar and living in his trailer, and you could see how his fourth wife, you know, that was Whiskey Tango all the way, white trash for those who don't know what Whiskey Tango is. But now this ridiculous show where you have twosomes traversing the entire country playing golf, you know, people breaking panes of glass, which is kind of cool to see. But the big break, I mean, haven't we gotten enough of the big break? I mean, I think it's like episode 17 or 18 or something, but what do you think? Your thoughts, Pat, about Charles Barkley being the star of Golf Channel's newest reality series?
Well, I know, and this is meant to be lighthearted, but at the same time, you know, we all know that Tiger Woods is a control freak. That's what's made him the player that he is that he makes sure that all of his people, you know, are doing what he wants them to do and in the manner that he wants them to do. That's why he got rid of Fluff. And you know, if somebody starts stepping out of that, you know, and starts taking the limelight on for themselves or whatever, that's when Tiger puts his foot down and be like, hey, I want you concentrating on me because, you know, I'm the alpha and omega of this thing. So and rightfully so. Now, Hank, because he probably has some time on his hands right now.
Because Tiger's on
Tiger
the shelf.
Out, you know, is attempting to do this. You know, the problem is that Barkley's swing is so, so horrendous that I'm worried that Hank is going to go out of his mind trying to fix this thing or at least get it to, you know, where it's workable, that it could adversely affect his ability to help Tiger. Because this is such beyond a work in progress. I mean, Hank's going to have to spend a millennium trying to fix Barkley's swing.
Well,
so I would say it's not going to last too long.
Well, that is the most interesting aspect of this news, is that we know how god-awful Charles Barkley's swing is. So I am curious to see if Hank Haney, I mean, they're definitely going with one of the best. I mean, you can only go on with Butch Harmon or Jim McLean to get anyone better than Hank Haney. What he does is making people's golf swings better than before. I'm interested to see, will Hank Haney be able to help Charles get that golf swing, which is just god-awful? And if you've ever seen it, he's scrunched over. It looks like the club is too short for him. He takes the club all the way back, and then on his downswing.
On the downswing stop.
Halfway,
not like Rick Haro, where he stops at the top.
At the top of his swing. Like Rick Haro has a pause in his swing that's
It's getting
if
better.
If you're going to have a pause anywhere in the
that's
swing.
That's where you want it.
That's where you want
not
it.
Not on your downswing.
Right at the top of your swing, and he stops right at parallel and makes sure that the club is in a good spot and then brings it down. Barkley, after the club is at the top of his swing, he brings it down halfway. And then when the club is almost, I would say, parallel to the ground on the downswing, he stops, and then he reroutes the club and jerks it across his body. And it's the biggest outside-to-in swing you ever want to see. And it's just, it's a train wreck. So, I am incredibly curious to see, is Hank Haney going to be able to fix this?
Well, I think Charles actually needs to talk to Lanny Basham more than he needs to talk to Hank.
It's because, mental, right.
Because if you see him on the range, he swings normally. It's only when he gets out there that this mental block occurs, and like you said, on the downswing, he stops. So I'm not sure. Hank has to get him to the point where he's at least swinging like he is on the range. So then you can start actually working on some things mechanically with your swing, like you're saying, the outside in, and all that stuff, because you can't work with somebody that stops on the downswing. That is not something you can say, okay, we'll just work around that. You actually have to be able to swing the club for Hank Haney to help you. And until he gets to that point, Charles needs Lanny Basham more than he needs Hank Haney.
Or Dr. Gio Valente, one of those mental coaches. Gio Valente, by the way, just found this out. He is a Sigma Phi Epsilon fraternity brother of mine from the Florida Alpha chapter at the University of Florida. How about that?
Man, right here.
Yeah, Colin.
Come on, Colin. You look for connections.
I am shameless.
Too many connections.
No doubt about it.
You're like the 6 degrees of separation guy.
No doubt about it.
If there's a connection, you're going
to... Did you hear about, by the way, I'm shameless. Whenever it comes to the Gators, I am shameless about getting them in any kind of conversation, whichever.
We've got that.
But did you hear, speaking of 6 degrees of separation, there's actually a study right now being conducted by some university.
Where everybody's got
right,
some...
Every single
See,
person...
I want to know what my connection with you, but if we weren't doing this show, if there was some connection with you.
Well, apparently this study is proving that every single person in the world, all 7 billion of us can be connected to every other person within 6.5 connections. So less than 7 connections. I believe the number is 6.5 connections. Any person on this earth can be connected to any
You're
other person.
You're telling me some guy living in a hole in Guam has a connection to me,
within,
or Colin.
Within 6.5 connections. Apparently that is the results of this study.
I'm interested to see that.
You know what? We need to get the information about the study and have whoever is conducting it
and
on,
how
on the
radio
show.
And how they connect people.
Like, how am I connected to Tiger Woods? That's what I want to know. How many connections between me and TW? That's what I want
to
know.
All right. We'll have to find that one out.
Well, how many connections between me and Gregory Smith, who just won $15 million?
Give him a call. Yeah. Like, hey.
Maybe we're long-lost relatives.
Well, I'm mostly Irish, so maybe I got something in there.
Well, that was the latest award-winning edition of PGA National Resort and Spa's Inside the Ropes segment, as we do each and every week, brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. If you've ever watched a golf tournament on TV and wondered how you would do on a course the pros play, it can happen at PGA National Resort and Spa in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. You can play the PGA Tour's third toughest course, a wonderfully fiendish layout designed by Jack Nicklaus that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic. The Arnold Palmer design course and three other courses are just as devilish, making PGA National Florida's premier golf resort destination. PGA National has just been renovated as well, so everything from the entry to the pool area to the lobby with its new restaurant, the Ironwood Grill, and the hip eye bar, it's all fabulous. It's real and spectacular, and it's time to experience the legend of PGA National in person, not just on TV. For a customized tune-up and tee-off golf package that includes lessons and golf on the course with your instructor, go to pgaresort.com or call 877-742-6285. That's pgaresort.com or call 877-742-6285. 85.